from The Shadow Over Innsmouth by H.P. Lovecraft. Certainly, the terror of a deserted house swells in geometrical rather than arithmetical progression as houses multiply to form a city of stark desolation. The sight of such endless avenues of fishy-eyed vacancy and death, and the thought of such linked infinities of black, brooding compartments given over to cobwebs and memories and the conqueror worm, start up vestigial fears and aversions that not even the stoutest philosophy can disperse. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hey there, Sojourners, and welcome back to Lazarus Bay. Last time, our mavens encountered something so astounding on so many levels that we'll have to see how their minds have taken it, because not only did they accuse Phineas Wellcoat, treasure hunter, of killing Fizzy Baloo, Phineas admitted as much, saying that the secret passages below the Cozy Kitten would lead to incredible wonders. But then Cindy Louise, director of the Downtown Restoration Society, pulled a pistol out of her purse and shot Phineas Wellcoat. Just shot him right there.
Right there on the floor in front of us.
Right there.
Right there.
But before they had a chance really even to react to that, at the door,
something even weirder happened.
Appeared there the visage of Angie Happen, Fern Happen's wife, dead wife, who had gone missing, vanished on her fishing boat out to sea many years ago. But here she is, looking just like she did then, except damper and covered in seaweed. And she gave a dire warning. You must stop him. You must not let him rise. And then she sploofed into water, into a puddle of water and seaweed.
I think she was more than moist. I think she was dripping.
She was very moist. So incredibly moist.
The moistest.
The moistest you can be.
We're not even in the City of Mist anymore, you guys. Come on.
City of Moist. Sojourners.
That will never not be funny to me.
Go back and watch season 4 if you have no idea what we're talking about.
Watch with your ears.
Watch with your ears.
Unless, of course, you object to the word moist, in which case,
don't. Yeah. Or do. You know, maybe it'll be exposure therapy. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Because this was a special two-part episode on the show that is The Murder Mavens.
The show of our lives.
The pre-credits roll is that scene, once again, just happening over and leaving with the shocked look on the faces of the murder mavens. And then we go to the title screen and the music and those cutaways to the murder mavens doing comfy things around town. This show has really high production values, and so we have different views of what the murder mavens are doing each episode. Mm. So in this one, before we pick back up with the astonished looks on the faces of the murder mavens, what do we see the murder mavens doing around town in their coziness? Olivia.
Does it have to be our cozy activity specifically or something?
No,
just related?
It can just be any non-mystery solving activity.
I think that in this one, Olivia is going to be repairing and tightening the knots on the big fisherman's net that she has. And, so you get the close-up of her nimble, wrinkled hands as they're tightening all the knots on all the net, you know, going through the same repetitive motions. as she looks at it with a look of intense concentration.
Winifred.
You would see Winifred working on a motorcycle. Is this a flashback to a previous time, yes?
Yeah. It's not like today or anything.
Right. So she'd be working on Fizzy's motorcycle.
Mm.
And you'd kind of get that shot of, you know, her just kind of, you know, patting it twice on the seat and telling Fizzy, well, she's all fixed up. And then you'd see Fizzy, like, riding off, and there's just, like, a gout of flame from the tailpipe. and the motorcycle just whooshes forward, and Fizzy almost falls off the back.
Doing a cool wheelie the whole time.
And Rosanna.
I'm hearing the Golden Girls theme song playing in my head as well, but it's like, welcome to Lazarus Bay. but as the flames shoot out from that tailpipe, it kind of also leads into this explosion at the chateau. Like it could have been like a long time ago. It could have been 2 weeks ago. And you see Rosanna like stumbling out of the shed of the chateau, soot like covering her face, the hair just like standing on end and all like ashen. She just turns right back around and looks worried for a moment, and then you see Moonshine kind of run out, look at her, look at them, kind of like an anime thing, look at the cat, look at the person, look at the cat, and then the cat runs up and jumps into her arms, and she just kind of like cuddles.
I love
it.
That
I'm glad you love those, because as we watch these scenes play out on the TV screen, this TV screen that we see in a living room. We don't see much of the living room. We just see this big old-fashioned, like 1970s TV with the big, you know, sits on the floor. It's got the big wooden frame around it, and playing all of this, kind of sepia-toned almost. In this imagery, we suddenly see these cutaways, these moments of time being pulled down almost like posters as tentacles tear at them from behind, from almost like it's within the TV almost, and tear down these images even as they're playing across, until the TV is just a writhing mass of tentacles, and those tentacles break through the glass and begin to stretch out into the living room that we cannot see, just sort of unfolding and flowing. And this is the vision that Olivia snaps forward from.
Oh my.
As we return to the conference room of the unhealthy chicken. No, wait, the unhealthy herring.
I've never heard of that fish before.
The chicken of the sea. The
disreputable tuna.
Phineas Wilcote has just been shot. Angie Happen has just dissolved into a puddle of water on the floor mixed with some seaweed, so that you know that it actually happened. What in the ever-loving heck do the murder mavens do?
I want to take my big fishing net and throw it over Cindy Louise.
And then I want to tackle her.
Yeah.
You see, as you begin to do this, Cindy Louise has turned the gun toward herself.
I double quick time want to catch her in the net.
Doesn't matter what time of day this is. This is definitely night move.
Okay.
Situations that we are doing here. So as you make this move, Olivia, what do you think bad could happen here?
Brains wall.
Yeah, so I want Cindy Louise to have to face some kind of like legal justice for shooting Phineas in the head, even though Phineas was a self-confessed murderer. Like, you know, our whole shtick is that we catch nefarious, you know, crimesters and turn them in, right? So I want somebody to be responsible for this whole thing that we've been putting our time and attention towards. I think that if she is allowed to succeed in shooting herself, and that would, you know, lead to us not having any closure and also not being able to find out anything more about what she was about.
The worst you can see happening here, the thing that you can see happening bad, is that she carries through with killing herself.
Yeah, and we lose the thread of the mystery that we're on.
Yeah, so of course, it's a night move, so I get to make that even worse.
Okay.
Not only does Cindy Louise shoot herself, getting herself out of the range of justice and of of helping you learn any more about this oddity, this weird stuff that's happening. But that when she shoots herself, her gun is so powerful that the bullet continues on and strikes a propane tank that is being stored in this room for some unknown reason.
That's just irresponsible.
This will explode, killing nearly, maybe not the Mavens, but killing nearly everybody that you pulled in who might have been witnesses or suspects in this crime of the murder of Fizzy Blue.
That's just terrible. Terrible, I say.
It is. It is. It's terrible. First of all, do you wish to go ahead and try to do this? Because if you don't try to do that, then she just shoots herself and she is dead.
Yeah.
Working on the night moves.
Can you, on night move, can you do the same thing with a crown as day move and just like turn it into a success?
Yes. In fact, the crowns are really meant for night moves when we see the horrible, horrible things that happen and then reverse them.
I'll go for it. What am I using for this? Vitality?
So I think vitality. Yeah, I think absolutely this one is going to be all about physical action and physical dexterity.
Could I make an argument for composure? Because we've just seen some weird stuff.
No, I got things for you for composure here in a minute. So
more weird stuff than anyone else. Okay, I'll roll with vitality. Oh, boy. So that's a 2. So I'm going to put on a crown because I really want this to work.
Yikes.
I'm going to do a scene in the present day showing a private side of you very few get to see. And I think I think that Olivia doesn't have a telephone on the houseboat. So she's going to be calling her son. So I'm going to be strolling up to the phone booth and calling Ethan. I'll say into the phone, like, Ethan, it's your mom. I know I don't call you too often, and I'm sorry you're away from the phone right now. But I just wanted to catch up. You know, I bought you something and wanted to check and make sure I can send it to the old address that I used to have. Make sure you're living in the same place and see how the kids are doing. I know you're not particularly interested in news from around town, but unfortunately we've had another murder. The proprietor of the bookshop where me and the book club get together was murdered, and we're working on it as we do. Ethan, I've been thinking a lot about your dad. You know, I know you weren't too happy when he came out and didn't want to come home too much, but I've been thinking about Pip a lot, and you know, I hope that we can get together this holiday season maybe and share memories, because you know, this old houseboat's feeling emptier than ever at this point. Well, I wish you well, and you know, you can always call the coffee shop down in town, and they'll take messages for me there if you ever want to get back in touch. I'll talk to you later. And hangs up the phone.
All right, that moves it up to a 7 to 9.
Woof. Okay, so I do it intended or hold steady, but there's a complication or cost.
Not having a chance to really react to Cindy Louise shooting Phineas, not really having a chance to react to Angie Happen coming in, Olivia somehow still reacts. And having brought as a shawl a fishing net.
You never know when you might need a fishing net.
She flings it off of her shoulders, rushing toward Cindy Louise, throwing it over Cindy Louise, even as the director of the Downtown Restoration Society tries to turn the gun, the pistol, onto herself. This, however, makes Cindy Louise's aim go awry, and instead of shooting herself or even shooting Olivia, she shoots.
She scores.
Nikki Fears.
Oh, no.
I shoot it. I miss it.
Not my bow.
I'm sure he's been shot before. He'll come out of it again.
Oh, I've seen the scars.
Do you wish to continue? Would you like to put on another crown?
No, I'm okay with that.
Nikki fears, shouts out, and spins around and falls to the ground. How badly wounded is he? We don't know. Even as Winifred leaps in to try to tackle Cindy Louise to the ground and get the gun away from her, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, if it's possible with the net, if the net is just so completely over her, then the goal is to do a full, like, wraparound tackle and immobilize the arms so that she can't do anything with the gun anymore. But I'll take the gun if I can.
What are you worried will happen if you lose your nerve or fail?
So continuing with Winifred's ongoing fear of being publicly humiliated, she's afraid that she's just going to, like, catch her boot on something and just face plant in front of Cindy Louise.
I love how I'm like, we lose tackling the entire mystery, and you're like, I fall over. Yeah. That's the real, I need to just be like, what's the worst that can happen? A banana pie flies out of nowhere and hits me in the face. I mispronounce a single word. That's the worst I can possibly imagine. Make that worse.
Well, yes. But in fact, it's worse than that. Not only would you trip and stumble into Cindy Louise, not taking her to the ground, but her still fighting to get the gun around and into position, either maybe now to shoot Olivia or anyone else. She instead, as you tackle her, the gun goes off again, and we see Winifred stand up and turn toward the others with a single round hole in her forehead.
Oh no, wait, stand up with a hole in her head.
And then she topples.
Okay.
Ignominiously showing her petticoat.
Worst case scenarios, you die, and also you embarrass yourself in public.
Is this a knight move, or am I meddling or something?
Yes, definitely a knight move. And vigor.
Oh, the hits just keep on coming. A 3 and a 1 plus 1 for a total of 5.
Yikers.
Yeah, crown. Crown time.
What crown?
Okay, so we're going to see a scene in the present day showing how Winifred satisfies her physical desires.
Ew.
But we're not going to, like, see too much. This is
she's
like
doing one-armed push-ups, and she's like, 13. 99, 100.
Yeah, so okay. We've got Winifred running a bath.
Hell yeah.
And she kind of putters about. She lights some candles, puts on some Chuck Berry music.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
She gets like a nondescript sort of case, you know, and puts it by the bathtub, and then sort of slips the robe down over one shoulder, breaks the fourth wall, looks directly at the camera, winks. and then the lights go down. Moist. Yeah, it just flashes across the screen. Moist, moist, moist.
All right. You are going to succeed. You rush across the room, even as Olivia wraps up Cindy Louise in the fishing net, and you wrap your arms around Cindy Louise, kind of get a hold of her arm too, and the gun goes flying across the floor. You tackle Cindy Louise to the ground, where her head thumps hard against the hardwood floor, and she is knocked unconscious. That's the complication. If you would like to add another crown for full success.
Well, I would like to. Not being like too horrifically metagamey, but
little do the players know that what they do with their crowns now will affect what happens in phase 2 of season 5.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay, well, we're going to see a flashback of Winifred's childhood. She uses her mother's fabric scissors on paper. No.
Oh.
She would not have survived.
You don't do that.
The way you see Winifred being an imperfect daughter is she's out in the garage, and she's trying to make a contraption. Definitely rudimentary compared to her masterpieces of today. But she needs string, and she can't find any more string. She used it all up on a kite-making enterprise the previous week.
Relatable.
So she goes into her mother's craft cabinet and pulls out, like, the only thing she can find that'll fit the bill. It's the fancy ribbon that that she's been told specifically not to use. And you definitely get that sort of calculating. Huh, is this a bad idea? No, this is a good idea. moment. And she pulls it out, and she disappears into the garage with it.
Now, back in the now, you tackle Cindy Louise to the ground, wrapped in a fishing net. And she struggles beneath you, but the gun goes flying, skidding across the floor. Nicky fears, is groaning in pain, but that means he's still alive, at least. And now you have time to think, time to register what all has happened, even as Sheriff Lilo is going, oh now, I don't know, oh heavens, oh goodness, oh, what is happening here?
Sheriff, if you don't call the paramedics right now, I'm going to do it myself. That man's just been shot.
And he reaches for the radio on his shoulder and clicks the button and starts calling in the troops.
Yes, both of those men have just been shot.
Multiple men have just been shot, Sheriff.
Yeah, the others in the room are more or less just standing around for a few moments in shock. Then they break and just start yelling and shouting and crashing around.
Can I, like, slip a little piece of the seaweed into my pocket for later? I want to take it back out and look at it later.
You may certainly do so. And with the collection of that seaweed, a clue, we enter another mystery. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, another mystery.
But because
mystery.
Of the abbreviated nature of our playing Brindlewood Bay this season, this is a void mystery. The mystery of the dark things that happen below the white picket fence surface of Lazarus Bay. We cut scene. There's a commercial. When we come back, we are elsewhere. Where should we be? And we can be in different places if you want. Some of you could go with Nicky Fears to the hospital. Some of you could be with Sheriff Lilo, who has taken Cindy Louise into custody. Or, you know, you could all be elsewhere. Whatever you want to do. Where do you want to be when we come back from commercial?
Rosanna would be with Nicky at that point.
So you have gone with Nicky to the hospital?
Yes.
Okay. So what about Winifred?
So Winifred wants to be like super underfoot in the questioning of Cindy Louise.
Okay. So off to the small Lazarus Bay police station. And Olivia?
I think I also wanted to be with Lilo. I feel like I don't have to be, like, in the questioning, but if I could be watching from the, you know, the observation room or whatever they call that room that's, like, next to the place where they interrogate people.
Oh, yeah. No way we're, like, in the room okay. with the interrogation yeah. happening. I feel like... like Winifred would be banging on the thing, like, ask her more about that!
Winnie, he can't hear you. That's the way these things work.
Well, maybe he heard my knocking.
Lilo did allow you behind the one-way glass because he's very confuddled at the moment, or at least appears to be. He seems to be, one, shocked that you were right again. Not like this is the first time you've been right in a murder in Lazarus Bay.
I don't know why he keeps being confused about this. We have a great track record.
238 episodes. never lost a suspect yet.
And we're not about to start now.
Yet Lilo's questioning is barely above inept.
Of course it is. I don't know why I expected any different. He always does this.
Now, Cindy Louise, you can flick on the intercom system that goes between the rooms, only one way between the rooms, unless you push a button. And you can hear the interview, of course, going on. And there is that button, that big button that would take your voices into the interrogation room if you were so inclined. But right now, it is just Sheriff Lilo in there. Cindy Louise is handcuffed. Now, Cindy Louise, I don't know how you got yourself into this predicament. There is nothing about the Downtown Restoration Society that would warrant shooting Phineas Wellcoat before I had a chance to interrogate him about his admitting to the murder of Fizzy Baloo. And honestly, we thought the cats had done it.
Is that the next part of season 5, Patrick? Is that we're the cats who done it?
Shh! No spoilers.
Now, Cindy Louise, I say, oh heavens, that you really got to just fess up as to why you did what you did. We all saw you. Now, you just fess up and you stalk right into the camera there and you say why. And then maybe, you know, things will go easier on you. And Cindy Louise looks at him, sneers. Her face seems to alter almost in a way that is so unlike Cindy Louise, this chipper, you know, Southern Belle kind of woman.
Sloshy pays real close attention.
She says, while we give ourselves to him, we give ourselves to him fully so that he can come into the world and be everything to everyone. And then she just starts ripping at her clothes until she has bared her skin. And then she still starts tearing at herself until she is scratching herself and blood is flowing.
Sheriff, I think you'd better restrain her, don't you?
Sheriff Lilo is like backed away from her, and then he like looks at the mirror on his side. He looks back at her and at the window and back at her, and he obviously has no idea what to do.
Don't you think you should perhaps restrain her, Lilo?
Go ahead, make a day move of trying to get him to do what you want here.
Boop-a-doo.
When he's already leaving the like back room and heading for the interrogation room.
Yeah. What should I roll with?
For our audience, the screen has gone to please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh my. Should I roll with presence?
Presence, yeah.
I took a point in presence when I leveled up, so now I am not doing it with plus zero anymore. It's a 9.
Ooh, nice.
Mild success.
So close.
Before Winifred can get through the interrogation door and inside to do anything herself, your words will convince Sheriff Lilo finally to break out of his funk and go over and try to get... she had handcuffs on, but they're kind of the long, looser ones mm-hmm. that just keep her from running out of the room or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He gets over there and is kind of unable to get a real good grip on her. She's too slippery now with blood and clothing pieces torn everywhere. The chain of that handcuff, she gets wrapped around his neck.
Oh.
She starts to choke him. Now, you can put on a crown to up that to a full success. She's not going to kill him.
Yeah.
But she is going to hurt him. And then Winifred is going to be going through the door here shortly. So you could theoretically do it without a crown.
Well, one of my goals for today is to secretly undermine the authority of a local official. And if he were to be, say, for example, filmed in an interview room being chained by a naked woman, that's
lightly asphyxiated.
Yeah, that might go towards that goal.
Sojourners, the list of content warnings for this episode grows longer and longer.
No, I'll let that stand. If he's not in, like, mortal peril, then I'm okay with that.
No, I did say it was a day move, so it's not going to be mortal peril.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right. Winifred, what are you doing?
Bursting in the door and, like, piling on to this farce I see before me and try and extricate my second cousin twice removed.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and keep it a day move. I said it, so we'll keep going with day moves here, so it's not going to be too terrible. But what do you think would happen if you lose your nerve or fail?
Well, I mean, if I fail, I guess I'm afraid that Lilo's going to get choked out.
Not that the camera will catch you doing something Ignominious.
You trip, you fall, you shoot yourself in the face, you know.
Yeah, Lila's actually got a chain around his neck, so yeah. we're afraid of that at this point.
Go ahead and roll with... I guess you're going to have to kind of physically interfere here, you know? So,
yeah.
See, unless you're going to try to talk him down, talk her down.
No, that's not really what we're going with.
Vitality then.
All right. Well, that is a 9 on the dice plus 1 for 10.
Yeah.
Lovely. It is a great success. So how does this look? What does success look like?
Okay, yeah. So has she just got like the chain around his neck and she's behind him?
At this point, by the time Winifred gets in, he has managed to slip it somewhat. So now the handcuff chain is like across the bridge of his nose and his eyes. And he's sort of being, you know, hauled back.
Ow.
You know, and she's biting his shoulder.
Sorry, Lila.
Okay, well then Winifred is going to stride briskly in. Grab the chain, you know, of the handcuffs, pull Cindy Louise a bit closer, and just pop her in the mouth.
Head butter. That'd be awesome.
You can pull out the cage match moves. Yeah. No, just pull her close. That's my second cousin twice removed.
And a little kangaroo punch, right?
What's our TV rating? Can you add "you bitch" onto that sentence, or is this strictly PG?
Currently, you're under a please stand by technical issues.
Oh well, then cuss her out.
You get the beeps.
Beep 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 beep. But yes, otherwise, the rating is CBS in the 70s.
Yeah, just a quick punch to get her off of him, and then kind of lift up the chain so that Lilo can slide out, and then probably just push her up against the wall.
You do so, and she struggles against you, but you discover, oddly, that you are stronger than Cindy Louise.
If that doesn't show them I've still got it, I don't know what will.
Let's go to the hospital. We are in a hospital room where Nikki Fears, Silver Fox, is reclining on a hospital bed. It's hard to say that he's recuperating there. He has his shoulder all bandaged up. He's shirtless, and he's pushed the blanket off because it's a warm room. And so his muscular upper body is showing well-toned.
Is he like that meme of Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park where he's just like laying back?
Yes.
Absolutely. Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely that. He is smiling at Rose Anna. Why, Rose, I'm not putting my finger in my mouth to do the voice this time, so I'm just going to have to do it kind of mumblecore. It's all mumblecore.
Why do you have to always put yourself in these situations, Nikki? As she takes a cloth and is dabbing the sweat from his forehead and everything. What do you know? What did Cindy know? Do you have the other records of Fizzy's place?
Our audience watching this one does not have the please stand by sign over it. But instead, it's a weird color. Like, the color here is not the muted colors of the indoor scenes of the Murder Maven show. These are bright, almost super saturated colors. All of this is happening in Spanish, but with subtitles.
Yo cierro con residencia.
Amarillo.
That's right. You're currently,
gracias,
Rosanna, you're currently in a telenovela.
Oh,
I love it.
Rosanna, he says, you know, I care about you. And he puts his arm out.
There's like moody guitar music.
She grasps his hand and holds it against her cheek.
You know that I would have no harm come to you. You must get away from all of this. I don't wish to send you away. My heart would go with you, but you cannot be here for what is to come.
But what is to come, Nikki? Still holding the... Stop it! Stop it, Sharon! Stop it! You pervert.
I just thought of the word moist, you know? It's just
like... holding the hand to the cheek and everything. It's like, but what is to come, dear?
Go ahead and give me a meddling move.
Yay. That's what I was hoping for. I want more clues on what is going on underneath Fizzy's.
Yeah.
What stat am I using?
So this is going to be presence.
Okay. No advantage or disadvantage.
Is there anything you wish to use? I mean, you can always use Moonshine without spending him.
Moonshine's always there, and maybe, like, as I'm cuddling Nikki's hand to my face, Moonshine is cuddled up in the crook of the neck next to the cheek as well on Nikki, like, mimicking my movements.
Might I suggest, instead, that as you're having this touching, this heartfelt conversation with Nikki Fears in Jeff Goldblum stance on the hospital bed, that you lift up your shark vac, your classic shark vac that you have.
Do an ad.
Classic shark vac as opposed to...
I don't know. It's what it says on Rosanna's
futuristic
classic shark vac.
That was one of the ones that somebody gave me.
Shark vac.
If you use it and give an advertisement spiel for the classic shark vac, you can use it for advantage.
Will there be dust and dirt, Nikki? Will there be dust bunnies?
This vacuum will clean up anything.
Including crime.
Dust. Dirt. Liquids. Including blood. And you see, like, this weird, like, little, like, extension of the hose with a little, like, suction thing, like, sucking off a little bit of blood from somebody's clothing.
Why is that so disturbing?
Shark vac. For all of your dirty needs.
Shark vac, if you'd like to sponsor the Gothic Podcast.
If you'd like to pay us to not say anything more about shark vac.
Roll with advantage.
Oh, boy.
Mild success.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Good thing you went for the advantage.
Yeah, for real.
There is a complication.
Well, here's the complication. Oh, Rose. I don't know if I can tell you what it is that threatens this town, that threatens our love. Come closer. Come up here onto the bed with me, and I will whisper it into your ear.
I dab a little bit more sweat from his brow and then climb up into the bed next to him. Tell me, Nikki, just what is it? What was Fizzy hiding?
Rose, I'm not sure exactly what's there below the cozy kitten. But I do know that there are people in this town, many people, people of power, people of great power, who are striving toward something so dark, so terrible, that your mind cannot even comprehend it.
That all doesn't matter to me, Nikki. I mean, you know me. I love the mystery. I just want to know the end game.
All I know is that Fizzy Baloo's bookshop, well, it has already been sold. And already been bought by the Kane Corporation.
Dun, dun, dun!
And at that, a nurse, her outfit unbuttoned down to the third button, her hat prettily askew upon her head, comes in, throwing open the door, and goes, "Why, Nikki Fears, I don't even... You said you loved only me!" There are looks of shock on everyone's faces as the camera zooms in on each of them. And then we cut away back to the police station.
Can Winifred, like, use the manacle chain to, like, then get behind Cindy Louise and, like, restrain her and be like,
choke her out?
You'd better talk!
Oh, Winnie, we don't do torture on this show, Winnie.
What about mild torture?
You'd better do something. No, listen. We can't do that on under our rating. By which I mean our. Our rating.
O-W-R. Our.
O-W-R. Our. Our rating doesn't allow
I think
for...
that's just a U.
Whatever. why don't you grab shorter handcuffs so that she can't, you know, strangle people with them and maybe cuff her to the chair or something.
Well, I'll just hold her while Lilo grabs different cuffs then, but Cindy, Louise, you better talk!
All right, I tried.
You are attempting to get Cindy Louise to spill some beans.
Indeed.
So, go ahead and meddle.
I'll meddle then.
Go with presence.
Okay. It's a plus zero for me, so. But double sixes.
The dice love you, man.
Roll 20 dice. Do love Eric.
Well,
yeah, roll 20 dice. Do love Eric.
Sometimes.
That's why we're happy to have added Eric to our team. Yeah.
Got the roll 20 sauce. Damn it, Cindy Louise. Why did you shoot Phineas? What are you hiding?
I am not this voice. Hold on. Why, Winifred Cooper, you take your dirty hands off of me right now. But you should know.
Knee or in the kidney.
Ooh. That torture isn't allowed under this. Okay.
It's only a little bit of roughing up. It's not torture yet.
I'm rummaging through drawers in the interview room to find shorter handcuffs.
From the floor where Lilo is kind of holding his neck and still coughing, he says, "It's a police station. Roughing up's okay." I was tasked to make sure that Phineas didn't talk.
Talk about what?
Talk about the society.
Yeah, the society, go on.
The society of the Great One. The society of the Great Old One. The society of all that is and will and was and will be and will be becoming. And, oh, if only I could have died in his service. If
I
could have just...
Is this the Esoteric Order of Dagon? I've read about that.
Close. It is the Esoteric Society of Cain.
Ah!
We are opening the way. He shall rise from the ocean, and he shall bless us all with eternal life and eternal power over all the world.
The ocean? We're going to need a bigger boat.
We have a cutaway. We go to commercial?
Ironically, for a shark back.
When we come back, our mavens have gathered together again. They are... on the boardwalk, well, the docks, there's not really a boardwalk here in Lazarus Bay, but they're down at the docks, the boats having come in already, but some still out in the bay coming in to the docks. There are bells dinging here as there's just a sliver of light still to the west, illuminating some clouds that are off to the east here across the bay. The ocean air is salty. The smell of blooming flowers is in the air. Here you are, you three. What are you talking about?
And then she said it's the Esoteric Order of Cain.
And we weren't quite sure what kind of cane she was talking about, like sugar cane or,
No, we're sure what kind of cane she's talking about. Lazarus Cain. That's why we're here,
yes.
Damn it. Wake up.
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
Because Slossie, LJ, and Dr. Grace all know the name Cain.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you? You seem to forget a lot.
Oh, because we're old and senile?
No, it's what? This place. It's drawing us into the mystery internal to itself. Can't you tell?
Oh, so we get absorbed in the mystery.
And I think we need to get out there on that ocean and find Cain.
I don't think it's in the ocean.
They're trying to raise something that's in the ocean.
I think they're trying to raise him from somewhere down below Fizzy's establishment.
We definitely need to get down there and see for ourselves.
Maybe she was trying to throw us off then, but she's definitely said the ocean.
There could be the phenomenon, too, where she believes what she's saying, but she might not be correct about what exactly it is they're going to be raising. She could have been lied to, or she could be mistaken. Religious fervor will do all kinds of things to your mind.
Now might be a good time to collect your void clues and talk about them to remind both yourselves and the listening audience.
All right. Yes. Yeah, so first I've received several prophetic dreams or visions, many involving a fish that looks at me and says the words, "It's coming." Once on the boat, once coming from TV, once it was in the mouth of a seagull. Then we had the rock, which cracked and bled some sort of green ichor.
Right, that stone with the green ichor.
Yeah, that was really strange. And it evaporated. It's ichor. It evaporated really rapidly, and we couldn't collect any of it, but it was phosphorescent or bioluminescent or one of those things, depending on what it was made of. Most recently, during the revelations in the unhealthy herring, I had a vision to a television screen during the opening credits of whatever TV series we appear to be stuck inside. It was showing the opening credits on a television, and the scenes during which we all, you know, participate in daily life around town, they were being pulled inwards into the TV screen as by tentacles, which came up through the screen and burst out onto the floor of the living room that held the television that our show was showing on. And most recently, as you've just told us, LJ, the Kane Corporation, whatever that is, in this fiction, has purchased the bookshop, which is interesting because the deed is in this book, and I hold it up.
Oh!
Yes, that doesn't sound entirely legal, then.
Absolutely not. And there absolutely hasn't been time for any will that Fizzy may have had to be properly processed.
And don't forget Cindy Louise's admission of raising Cain from the deep.
Or something. She said the word he, and I'm willing to entertain the idea that she thinks it's something more than merely a man with delusions of grandeur.
And don't forget that Angie was the one that told us you can't let them raise him.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I assume Angie was talking about...
But my question to you, Winnie, and also to you, Olivia, is who is going to raise him? And who is this him?
Well, I assume they...
It must be the Historical Society.
...is the society that she's a part of. Now, as for him, that could be Cain, or it could be something else. You know, we've already had one seaside town be destroyed by an awakening god, and that didn't end in a way that makes me willing to believe we can continue onwards afterwards. So I'd rather not have a repeat of that performance while we're as conscious as we are.
I guess we're just gonna have to stop him again. Right, dude?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Now the question is how? Should we go about it by finding out this society and putting the stop to whatever rituals they're trying to bring about?
I think the answer's under Fizzy's.
I'm inclined to agree.
I think it must be as well. And they may be trying to raise him from the ocean, but the ritual or something is happening at Fizzy's.
Well, whatever it is, Fizzy's is involved somehow, and we need to get down there ourselves and figure out what it was Phineas was so interested in, that they would be willing to kill him to cover it up.
You know, what I would say is that, you know, life is a metaphor.
You all turn, and sitting on a bench here at the edge of the docks is a fish. Smoking a cigar.
Oh, the...
can everyone else see that?
Yes.
I'm glad you said that, because I was worried I was smoking more than a cigar.
You know, it's just that I've had multiple visions of talking fish during this existence, and, anyway, pray continue, my good friend, fish.
I need everyone to make a sensitivity roll, or take... Up to two conditions.
Wow, up to, huh?
Yeah, depending on how you roll.
What kind of roll?
Yeah, how do you roll a sensitivity?
This is a knight move.
A knight move?
It is the knight. And this is a very supernatural experience. You tell me, each of you individually, how you think if you aren't able to keep your mind wrapped around this, how do you think it's going to affect your maven? You can take a few moments to think about this. The fish just keeps smoking while you're thinking.
Could I take the perspective that what Dr. Grace is most afraid of is, you know, getting absorbed back into the mystery?
Okay, yeah.
You know, losing perspective.
And because it's a night move, worse than that, not just absorbed into the mystery, but completely engulfed by it.
Oh.
Lost to the world of Lazarus Bay. And not just, obviously, not just Olivia, but Dr. Grace lost to Lazarus Bay.
I haven't learned my lesson. I should have said I'm going to trip over my shoelaces or drool on myself or something.
Hey, falls are no joke when you're this age.
Roseanne?
I love the idea that Rosanna is used to alternative states of mind with her distillery and exploring into what she did in the 60s and 70s. That
and LJ,
yeah,
and LJ as well, to just be completely lost in that moment and focusing on the I hate to do it, but flipping to that void aspect and maybe grasping onto that a little bit more.
So what do you think, though, if it went wrong, what would happen?
Spiral down the rabbit hole kind of thing. Fall into the wonderland and just get completely lost. Similar to what you did with Olivia and the doc.
I think, again, then, yeah, a complete subsummation of LJ, Winifred / Sloshy, how do you see it going bad?
Okay, so not afraid of falling down the rabbit hole as such. Afraid more of losing the thread. Like, all of this stuff, you know, all these vague clues that don't seem to amount to much or connect to a whole lot more than there some nebulous entity is raising some nebulous horror, maybe.
And don't forget, it's always indescribable and unexplainable.
Apparently. He wants some descriptions and explanations, and he's not getting any, and he's just afraid that this is all nonsense, that they're not getting anywhere. And Sloshy, as a bonus, is also afraid that he's just going to wake up in a Tupperware.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And this will all have just been him hallucinating.
Oh.
Not back in the Tupperware.
Not the Tupperware.
So, yeah, I'm going to go to the worst possible outcome there, and that Sloshy does indeed wake up in Tupperware.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Sweating.
The thing is, Sloshy, you're in there. And you are a supernatural creature. So I'm going to give Winifred advantage on this.
Ooh, nice.
Let's see how it goes. And by the way, any crown you put on for this will have to be a void crown. And all this time, as all these things go through your mind, this isn't just because there's a talking fish smoking a cigar on mm-hmm. the bench nearby. As odd as that is, it is this whole thing. It's the fact that you know that there's a TV show going mm-hmm. on here, that you can see those other scenes, that you know that the commercials happen, that you saw Angie happen, that in all of this stuff, everything is now just coming together and piling on top of you at this moment. It's not just the fish.
I want to try and use my tackle box, and I'm thinking, like, maybe I'm like...
with the fish.
Listen, I only have so many things. Maybe I was like retying the knots on some of the lures.
You want to use it like catnip on the fish?
No, I was thinking of poking myself with one of the fish hooks as like a grounding method, like trying to keep myself like present with the fish hook by poking myself in the thumb or something with it.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get every every possible
now's the time
advantage here. Ah, damn it. It's still a miss. I rolled a 4.
No, that's me, actually.
Oh, that was you. Oh, I got a 10. Oh, you got a 4. Oh, no.
I don't know if I can argue anything.
Well, you have the cat. There's always
I have
the cat.
That's
true. Use the cat.
Which is great.
As you clutch the cat closer to yourself.
Okay. I really just call moonshine to myself, pss, 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 and like catch the cat and rub it lovingly. What should I do? And hoping for that one look of recognition from the cat and be like, you know what to do, kind of esoteric kind of connection. Will that give me advantage?
Yep, you get advantage from mm-hmm. the cat.
Night
because
move.
Cat.
Because cat.
Because cat.
That's good because I have a -1 on my sensitivity.
11.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Well, we have two great successes and then Sloshy.
Slide, Winifred. And the slider.
All right, Winifred. You want to put on a crown?
Oh, yes. The shadow in the garden is happening. So it says, Hereafter, during cozy vignettes focused on you or cozy move scenes involving you, you must also narrate how dark entities subtly reveal themselves in the scene.
I love this right now.
Yeah, that's really rad. This is the perfect time in the mystery for that to happen, too.
Yeah.
That bumps you up to a mixed success. Would you like to put on another Crown of the Void?
Ooh.
Oh, man. We're stacking. But honestly, I think the effect is probably about a wash from probably what would have happened, you know, in effect anyway, because by putting on the Void Crown, the Chariot, my reason modifier is reduced by one, and my sensitivity modifier is increased by one.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think it's pretty much the same thing of Winnie going a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Just like, what is going on?
Yeah, Winifred's very scientific-minded, very mechanically oriented. Now, Sloshy, you know, has other knowledge, but Winifred isn't. And so that clash going on there, I definitely can see that. So all of this has happened. You have somehow all managed to pull it together and keep it going, except we do have one little flashback back to the beginning of this episode, the introductory montage scene. Winifred, in yours that you described earlier, what do you see now? What dark entities subtly reveal themselves in that scene of you fixing Fizzy's motorcycle?
I think that instead of, you know, kind of a zany, kind of Mary Poppins-esque, you know, burst of fire and you know, plume of smoke out of the tailpipe of the motorcycle. Instead, there's like roaring flames and a dark purple cloud of smoke that then sort of washes back over Winnie, and Winnie kind of looks a little bit nervous all of a sudden and is staring after the motorcycle as it accelerates off into the distance like, wow, what did I do?
Okay, there's a fish. He's smoking a cigar. What do you do?
Tackle him.
I recognize you. What else do you have to tell me?
Oh, not much more to say now. Just, you know, it's all coming to the proverbial head. And, hey, you know, could be worse, I suppose. Could be the end of the world. Well, never mind.
Tell us about Kane, dude.
What do you want to know?
How do we stop him?
How is he expressing himself in this world?
This is so close. You're so close. You're just like one little sliver away, almost. All you gotta do is just break the membrane and you're right there. Remember that tower and that landscape and all that stuff you saw?
The lighthouse. Is it the lighthouse?
No.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
shit.
That's a good thought. You know, kudos. He lifts his fins up.
Rose flips the bird. LJ is like rolling his eyes.
Here's the thing. You're going to have to get into the cozy kitten. You were right. It's down there. Well, that's where they're going to do the ceremony.
Okay.
But the thing is, you need to get down there both to stop the membrane from breaking. Give us a little bit more time. Give you a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also give the town here a non-tentacle future.
Do we have to get to 88 miles per hour?
No.
Oh, God.
That's different. Maybe. No, no, no.
What?
So,
what?
Here's the thing.
Timeline are we on? How much time do we have?
Oh, not much now. Now that they know that Cindy Louise is cracked, they're going to be moving up their schedule. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you're just going to have to get in there. Going to have to go down in that secret tunnel. You're going to have to follow it to wherever it goes. I don't know. I'm just a fish. And it, hold on.
Smoking a cigar.
Smoking a cigar. Nicotine usage, also a content warning for this episode.
Good point.
It's there's a camera zoom in on it, and it's like a candy cigar.
Yeah.
All right, wait.
It's
no.
It's a boy.
He's blowing bubbles.
It's a metaphor.
It's a fish. He's blowing bubbles.
It's on the cigar.
Then you got to stop the ceremony.
Stop
the
ceremony.
But you got to keep just enough of the power to pass through the membrane and into Kane World. That's not what it's called. I don't know what it's called.
I was about to say, that sounds like the worst theme park I've ever heard of.
Stop the ceremony and keep the power.
Okay. All right, well, ladies, gentlemen, we gotta get there. Let's jump in the truck.
Sure. I mean, it's not that far, but absolutely.
Well, there is a problem.
What? What is it?
Well, hold on. We get a cutaway to a place that seems like it's maybe in the woods or on a hill. It's hard to tell. It's night, of course. It's hard to see. It's hard to identify. But there is a fire in a fire pit, and there are hooded figures, and they are chanting. And as they chant, we see the town of Lazarus Bay spread out beneath the starry sky. It is bleak. It is dark. It doesn't seem like it normally does, even at night. It has a gloomier, mustier, more Innsmouth-y feel.
Desolate, like no kind of like life vibes.
The buildings aren't brightly painted anymore. They are all grim and sooty, collapsing, you know, walls and ceilings. And we see the Cozy Kitten, the only building that is as it always was, pretty and bright and light, even at night, light shining out from inside. We somehow see the power that the chanters, are focusing on the Cozy Kitten, sealing it from any interference from outside. As our camera zooms in, flies in through this barricade that is around it, zooms in past several startled cats, and down through through the secret passage, down into the basement, down into another secret passage, down a long corridor that snakes long and long, well past where the boundaries of the shop should be, perhaps even out into the bay itself. There, we see more hooded figures chanting, chanting. And now we come back to our mavens on the docks and the fish.
Oh.
So you see, it's not that easy.
Oh, we have to go right now. Like right now, right now.
Right, that's already happened.
Oh, that was a flashback.
It's going to be real hard to get in there, and there's only one way to do it. Only one thing can cross between doors that aren't there, between worlds that collide, you know. Only one thing can be in multiple places, it seems, at once. And everybody turns and looks at Moonshine.
Oh.
And the fish says, yep, you're going to have to become cats.
Well, that's not what I expected.
And we'll find out what happens next time on the Gothic Podcast.
Yay! Dun, dun,
dun. Oh my god!
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of The Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners.
Ignominiously.
I mean, more
Ignominiously.
Edamame?
Minimum. Edamame.
Edaminimum.
Never mind. This is the worst thing I could have imagined.
And there ends Sloshy.
Well, butter my biscuits, Winifred says as she topples.
Is she bloody enough that she's moist with it?
Wow. You went
I'm going
there.
To put on a crown in order to...
to make me unsick.
I'm going to put on earmuffs.
Put on the void crown for that, dear God.
Give me fucking bubbles.
Wow.
Well, okay. Took a turn. As it turns out, you're in luck, because my name is Bubbles.
Shark Vac, for all of your dirty needs.